This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, August 11th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, how one town in Illinois is consolidating its efforts to land a new coal-fired, clean-burning power plant, the Future Gen plant. We'll check the forecast a little bit later from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser, too, but first, a look at today's news. The Champaign County Nursing Home will inform its staff today which of them will be laid off as part of a plan to stay in the black for the rest of the fiscal year. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
20 non-nurse employees will be laid off at the county nursing home next month for an $86,000 savings. The layoffs are just one of several changes to make sure the troubled nursing home can keep up with expenses for the rest of the fiscal year. But nursing home administrator Andrew Buffenbarger says it was a grueling choice to make.
It's a family that serves these residents, and it's a group of people who've dedicated their lives to Champaign County's elders. And the notion that 20 of those people won't be participating in that care any longer is extremely difficult. It's difficult for the staff, it's difficult for the residents, and it's one of the most difficult decisions we've had to make at the Champaign County Nursing Home.
In addition to the cost-cutting measures, the County Board Finance Committee voted last night to forgive a $400,000 loan to the nursing home and provide an additional $300,000 to get through the year. But then there's next year. Buffenbarger says even once it moves into its new building, the Champaign County Nursing Home can expect to lose $400,000 a year unless even more dramatic changes are made. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
One of the people who worked on the new Champaign County Nursing Home building blamed the building's general contractor for mold found in the structure. Electrician James McCall spoke last night at a county board hearing on a proposal to issue $4 million in bonds to pay for mold remediation and heating and air conditioning repairs at the still unopened building. McCall says while the county should issue the bonds now to get the new nursing home open, the final bill should go to the contractor, PKD Incorporated.
It is a moral imperative that the voters and taxpayers in Champaign County, and particularly in Urbana, not be saddled with what clearly, from my estimation, being on the job site, is an issue of the general contractor. There is no way that the taxpayers should pay for this.
McCall says PKD continued with construction, even though he and other workers told the general foreman about the mold. Ultimately, it'll cost the county $1.6 million and several months of lost construction time to remove the mold from the building. The Champaign County Board will vote later this month on that bond issue. The county is attempting to get the money repaid through arbitration with PKD and with the nursing home's architects. Security is still tight at Midwest airports following the uncovering of a plot yesterday to blow up planes flying between the U.S. and Britain. At Chicago's O'Hare Airport yesterday, relatives of travelers on flights from London's Heathrow Airport appeared concerned as they waited for planes, some of which arrived 2 hours late. When passengers finally cleared customs, many of them were carrying only clear plastic bags with their passports, keys, and other belongings inside. At Willard Airport outside Champaign-Urbana, manager Steve Wanzik says passengers cannot bring any liquids or gels on board except for baby formula and medications with the passengers' names on the label. And Wanzik says everyone must now take off their shoes during security screening.
That has been directed to be required now, so if you're traveling, when you go through the X-ray machine, you're going to be asked to take your shoes off and pass them through the X-ray. So no liquids, no gels, and take your shoes off. And that's the changes, and that may take a couple extra minutes of going through the checkpoints.
Wanzik says it's a good idea to arrive at Willard a little bit earlier than usual, but he says there have been no great delays in boarding. And the director at Central Illinois Airport in Bloomington, Carl Olson, says the extra security measures are not causing major problems at his facility. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin says he had no complaints about the federal government's initial reaction to yesterday's news of the foiled terror plot. Durbin says the incident underlines the worry that the threat of terrorism may never go away.
It's good in this instance that we preempted this problem before it occurred, but you don't know what else we've missed or what else we've stopped. We can never let down our guard. And intelligence is the real line of defense. When it reaches the point that somebody is executing one of these plans, it's too late.
Durbin spoke in Tuscola yesterday. He called the stricter controls on airline passengers minor compared to the risk of becoming complacent. The state of Illinois will hire an interim school superintendent. That decision is expected later this month. Sean Crawford has more.
After talking in closed session, the State Board of Education put off temporarily filling the role of superintendent, but will announce a choice within a couple of weeks. The job will open in December, when Randy Dunn leaves for a college presidency in Kentucky. Dunn has served since 2004. The board is also moving forward with a search plan for a permanent replacement. That person could start by February, meaning the interim superintendent would only be around for a couple of months. Board member Christopher Ward says even though it's a short time, the job should be filled during that period.
The state of Illinois and this board requires a superintendent to be in place to do the day-to-day operations.
Ward won't say how many candidates are under consideration for the temporary job. He adds the eventual appointee could also apply for the job on a permanent basis, but would have to go through the search process like everyone else. I'm Sean Crawford.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Leaders in the East Central Illinois cities of Tuscola and Mattoon got a visit from their state and federal lawmakers yesterday. Together, they're trying to build a unified campaign to land the $1 billion power plant project known as Future Gen. I went to yesterday's meeting in Tuscola. Illinois is searching for every possible advantage to get Future Gen built here over two other finalist sites in Texas. So you can't really fault 15th District Congressman Tim Johnson for even jokingly bringing up a borderline issue.
Texas used to be part of Mexico. We're part of the United
States. Wait a minute here.
Texas is a wonderful state, but we are centrally located. So go Illinois.
The meeting was very much a pep rally, and it brought often antagonistic forces together, Republican Tim Johnson and Democratic Senator Dick Durbin, the state heads of the coal industry and the United Mine Workers, business and environmental groups. The prize is not only what one participant called the space shuttle of energy research projects, but hundreds of jobs to build and run the plant. And by extension, coal miners like retiree Richard Bartolotti say the Illinois coal industry itself is at stake.
I come here for the simple reason of the jobs that this is going to produce. The coal industry has went way down. UMWA has sunk in the ground on account of the Clean Air Act, and this right here is going to help us jump right back up.
Future Gen promises to combine new and existing technologies to make burning coal for energy much cleaner. It'll use what's called coal gasification to generate electricity and hydrogen, and carbon dioxide emissions will be diverted deep underground instead of released into the atmosphere. Phil Gannett of the Illinois Coal Association says those procedures are not only good for the environment, they've now suddenly become economical.
The equivalent price for a barrel of oil out of coal, to make that out of coal, is about $35. And what's the price of oil today? Somewhere in the 70s, over 75 bucks. If you think that the price of oil will never get below $50 a barrel, invest in coal. Invest in gasification.
Gannett and the Illinois delegation really hope that Future Gen will focus its research on the high-sulfur bituminous coal that Illinois and other Midwest states produce, the coal that utilities moved away from to cut down on emissions. Jack Lavin, who heads the state's Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, says again it may be a tug of war between states.
Texas has a lot of lignite coal. We have a lot of bituminous coal. We want to make sure bituminous is part of the research of Future Gen. If it is, it will help bring back the coal mining industry in Illinois. And so we have no reason to believe it won't be, but we want to make sure that it is.
That's why the state government has given Tuscola's and Mattoon's bid projects another $730,000 to assemble environmental impact reports for the federal government. And Illinois political leaders have jumped in. Senator Durbin says he's trying to line up other states to support the Illinois bid, namely other producers of bituminous coal, like Indiana, Ohio, and West Virginia.
It helps us politically because it demonstrates that when this comes for funding, and it will come someday for funding, there'll be more support for it in Congress. It's an expensive project at the outset, but in terms of the potential benefits, it's a good bargain.
Almost to a man, those who spoke at the meetings said if the decision is based on science, Illinois is a shoo-in for Future Gen. However, no one discounts the political facts of life. Though the Speaker of the House is from Illinois, a certain president once lived in Odessa, Texas, one of the four finalist sites. But Congressman Tim Johnson isn't too concerned.
But those things cancel out each other. Our ability to organize as a community, the technology we have, the science we have, and most importantly, how we're able to present that technology is every bit as important as the existence of the technology.
Community organization is just what the Illinois Future Gen effort is revving up now. The next round of presentations to the Department of Energy come up in the late fall. And on a much more grassroots level, the head of Tuscola's Economic Development Agency used the meeting to line up people to march in the State Fair Twilight Parade with Future Gen t-shirts. We'll be gradually watching the rain move away north to south. As the weekend progresses and the last day of the week, our forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser for today in northern Illinois, partly to mostly sunny already. In northern Indiana and central Illinois, considerably cloudy with a few scattered showers hanging around the Champaign-Urbana area. In central Indiana and southern Illinois and Indiana, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms persisting. And highs today ranging from only 75 degrees near Lake Michigan to 86 in far southern Illinois. Tonight, in the north, mostly clear. In central sections, partly cloudy. And in the south, mostly cloudy. A few lingering showers possible early, then becoming partly cloudy overnight. Lows ranging from 53 in northwest Indiana to 67 in far southern Illinois. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny. In fact, Sunday, mostly sunny as well. Tomorrow's highs ranging from 78 near Lake Michigan to 88 in southwest Illinois. And highs in the 80s again on Sunday, with lows Sunday night ranging from the 50s in northeast Indiana to the 60s south and west. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, August 11th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.